It's time to go back to Battlefield. Hey, this is Random Alec. I just wanted to welcome you to the pilot episode of the Back to Battlefield podcast, brought to you by myself and Infidel1997. We'll be talking about everything Battlefield related in this series of podcasts, and I hope you enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on all our networks, and tune in for the next episode, which should be available next week. All right, thanks for listening. All right, so what's the first thing we're going to talk about?
Just flat-out premium.
What do you think about the Battlefield 3 premium?
I think you're saving money. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was telling a lot of people on my stream, that if you get Battlefield 3 premium, it's definitely saving you on the DLC alone, and then you get all the additional stuff.
Like double XP every 2 seconds.
Yeah, the double XP event right now is, like, for everyone, but they did the premium one last premium weekend.
The double XP event right now, it's for everyone for 2 days, but premium for a week.
Yeah. I think it's awesome, though. I mean, you know, right off the bat, when you get Battlefield 3 premium, you get the dog tags. You get the 5 premium dog tags, and then, you know, the only thing people are really complaining about is, you know, if you got Battlefield 3 limited edition, you got Back to Kharkiv for free, and then people are complaining that, you know, that's included in the premium.
Oh, yeah. Once I found out that Back to Kharkiv came with premium, I got kind of mad, because that's $20 I spent a month earlier.
I mean, either way, for me, it wasn't a problem, because, you know, like, I've always told everyone, Battlefield 3 for me was, like, the true sequel to Battlefield 2. Like, I never cared for Bad Company, so, you know, having Battlefield 3 coming out, I had pre-ordered it anyway, and it doesn't bother me. Like, either way, so far, like, DICE has done a great job keeping the game updated and, you know, fixing everything. Hopefully they start doing it a lot sooner than usual, because the patches are taking way too long. But either way, I was going to get all the DLC so far for this game, because they're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they'd have one DLC a month instead of separating it so much.
Yeah. I was hoping, I mean, they have these bonus content drops and everything, and, you know, hopefully that's more than just camos and stuff, because I honestly don't care for the camos. I prefer they add, like, you know, maybe new textures or something, or just the ability. They need to definitely add the ability to switch between the two knives that are available.
Or throwing knives.
Or, yeah, I guess. The ability to throw your knife. I'm not gonna lie, though, I've actually thought about that before, you know. You're chasing down a guy, and, you know, you could run with your knife out, so why not just, like, throw it at him, and then they'll make some system that once you throw it, obviously you lose it if you miss, I guess.
And then you have to bash with your gun if you want to melee after that.
Oh, okay. So now we're playing Halo.
That works. You're also playing, like, Call of Duty 1.
But, okay, so let's go into the Armored Kill DLC.
Yes, AC-130.
Yeah, I know. That's what everyone
is talking about. That's the only thing anybody cares about.
Now, the biggest thing that hopefully people will get out of this podcast, and obviously listening to my live stream, if they haven't been on there already, is that you won't be able to fly the AC-130. And I think that's a great thing, because it avoids people, like, trolling it and, you know, just getting into it, not knowing how to fly, like people already do in air vehicles in Battlefield 3, and just crashing it into the ground. And then you got to wait, you know, 10 minutes for it to respawn, because it's going to be like this massive air vehicle.
Yeah. One thing I don't like about the AC-130 idea is the fact that you have to cap a certain flag to get it. I don't like that. I also think it's going to end up being just like the AA gun, and there's only going to be one guy in an entire match that actually gets in it.
Well, from what I've read, apparently they've leaked, like, little spreadsheets and stuff, like early spreadsheets from DICE about Armored Kill, and so far what people are relying on is the fact that it will be automated, and yeah, you will have to capture a certain point on the map where it's available and control that point so you could have the AC-130. But as far as what's been leaked, or whatever you want to call it, it's going to be two people in it manning the guns. I don't know how that'll work or how many guns they'll have access to, but I was told that
I don't remember where I heard it, but there's going to be two seats that go from air to ground, and then there's going to be a seat for air to air.
Right, or that's another possibility that would probably make sense as well, yeah. Because, I mean, what I read was that, yeah, it's basically going to be automated. You capture the point, you're going to be able to defend against air and attack the ground in it, and, you know, those two or three guys that are already on it controlling the weapons, are fine in there or whatever, and then everyone else on the other team could spawn on the airplane if they'd like.
Oh yeah, the air, it's basically a spawn beacon that goes around the map.
Right. Now, it would be cool if they actually, you know, if they're going to have something like that, which I don't doubt, you know, as far as spawning onto the airplane, it would be cool if they at least let you spawn in it and, you know, you could just jump out or something like that. Hopefully, it's not something really lame.
Like, whenever you spawn in the personnel bay?
Right, right. Instead of it being something, you know, retarded, like, they basically...
You spawn in your dropout.
Right, you're already out in the air, like, if you spawn on a spawn beacon or something and they just threw it onto the airplane or something, that would be really dumb.
Yeah.
You know, they gotta add that feeling that you're actually spawning on this massive airplane that you already struggled to control the flag to spawn it, and then, you know, you actually spawn in it and you're like, oh, cool, you know, let's jump out over here or whatever.
Yeah, and the largest map in Battlefield history, apparently, is going
yeah,
to be...
Yeah, which from what I've seen is the map that's going to have the AC-130, because they really haven't shown any other maps besides that massive one in the trailers and all that.
I don't see them releasing any other map.
You think so?
Yeah, they say it's such a huge map. I feel like it would be just insane to release more than one map along with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for more than just that map, to be honest. I mean, I don't care if they all have the AC-130. Like, that's the last of my concerns. At least they have all the new mobile artillery vehicles, and, you know, they're going to have supposedly at least one new airplane and one new helicopter, but I think one map alone isn't gonna cut it. Like, I think that's just gonna, at least if people don't have premium already, people that are planning on buying like certain DLCs, I think they're gonna be disappointed if they get Armored Kill and it only has one map on it.
I do really want more than one map, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it just depends how much of their resources they're putting into the actual DLC, and if they figured, okay, let's make this huge map because, you know, it'll be unlike anything else we've ever had in any Battlefield game, and let's just throw in all these extra vehicles and that's it.
What else is coming in Armored Kill? I'd like to see
that's what I was going to bring up. I'm not even sure. I mean, I honestly haven't read anything else besides obviously the vehicles. You're going to have mobile artillery. Even on the cover of the Armored Kill DLC pack, you know, that they have on the Battlefield 3 Premium, you see one of the new mobile artillery tanks, you see what looks like a new airplane, and the shadow of one of the new helicopters, I would guess. But, I mean, I don't think there's a list of the official vehicles yet or anything like that.
I think this would be kind of annoying, but I would like to see Simons to unlock the vehicles.
I mean, I think DICE and EA are going to stick with that whole assignments thing to unlock basically anything that they include in DLC.
I like it. It's definitely more fun than just automatically getting everything.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's more challenging. Hopefully, they don't make it extreme like what we were talking about before we started the podcast, which is having to shoot someone out of an air vehicle or something just to unlock a camo for a weapon. But, I mean, you know, it's evident that they're definitely sticking to the assignments to unlock everything. You know, if you want a new camo or if you want a new gun or whatever, you're going to have to go through an assignment to get it.
I just thought of something that would be amazing for Battlefield. What if they had a flamethrower, like, that assignment? Of course, it can't be really overpowered because that would be insane to have a flamethrower. But just to have it as one of the assignments for the DLC.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it would be cool to have a flamethrower, without a doubt. I mean, nowadays, especially I just realized there's no Dragon's Breath ammunition for shotguns either, which is something...
They should have that.
Which is something I think you even actually use in the single player, if I recall correctly. I'm not sure, but, I mean, things like that, you know, nowadays they still use, you know, flame-type ammunition in modern wars and all that.
Oh, what if a premium exclusive... like soldier upgrade was incendiary ammo or tracers?
That would be great. That would be a perfect, you know, they have that bonus content drop, you know, about every couple months. They could definitely throw that in there to one of those things.
You go into a night map, you equipped your tracers.
Right, exactly. But who knows? I
can imagine that. Or night vision, integrate night vision, like not just sights, but actual night vision attachment for your soldier.
Right, that would be another thing they could definitely add. I mean, they got maps like Tehran Highway, and they could definitely add more nighttime maps. In fact, I was thinking about it yesterday. They they don't exactly have, besides maybe Tehran Highway, you know, thinking back to Bad Company 2 and games, you know, that have come out before Battlefield 3 in between Battlefield 2 and this one, is they don't really, on Battlefield 3, there isn't really a close quarters map yet. You know, as far as running through houses, you know, blowing holes in the walls, like, it was the pinnacle for Bad Company 2. And, you know, I don't think they really have a close quarters map on Battlefield 3 yet.
I was thinking, if they made a lot of cool things for night maps, I'm pretty sure they would get more enjoyable. Like, if they had tracers and night vision, I think it would be pretty fun.
Yeah, it would definitely attract attention to the game in itself as well, because, you know, you have other modern combat games that do have night vision goggles available, and, you know, you could throw them on, and there really aren't maps that you use that for in multiplayer. Like, it's not necessary. And I think with Battlefield 3, you know, they got the Frostbite 2.0, and they do have nighttime maps, which do a really great job at actually bringing darkness into certain areas of each level and all that. And you could use, you know, night vision besides just having a night vision scope.
Yeah. If they made a map that was so dark that you needed night vision, I think it would end up being very realistic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it brings me back to, you know, games like America's Army. They have maps in that game that, you know, it's really dark. And, you know, the first thing you have to do when you spawn every time is just throw on your night vision, because you're not going to be able to see anything, because you're in the middle of this dark urban environment and you're running through buildings and everything, and you got to throw your night vision on because you're not going to see anything otherwise. Okay, so let's talk about
Aftermath.
Yes.
So, something we know nothing about, but is rumored about the Dino mode, which probably will never happen.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, I just recently made an account on Reddit, and it's been going back and forth, especially on Twitter and Reddit, that DICE is responding to people asking for a Dino mode, and they've literally been asking, you know, the same people that are commenting about it on Reddit or Twitter, you know, hey, if we put a Dino mode, what would you want it to be like? What would you want us to put it in? You know, what you know, explain it to us. Like, what do you guys want to see? And I've heard people say that they would want, I think they're pretty ridiculous ideas, but they expect to have like some type of game mode that you play as a dinosaur versus soldiers. Like, that's not what I would be looking for if they put a dino mode. Like, if they put a dino mode, I think
Jurassic Park.
Right, all it could be to me is a horde mode. That's all it is. And, you know, you gotta fight to survive against waves of dinosaurs, whatever it may be. You don't necessarily have to have vehicles. That depends, like, you know, again, we're speaking hypothetically, because, you know, they haven't really said if they're going to put a dino mode, but if they do, I mean, that depends on how much power they have to actually implement dinosaurs into the game. And if you need vehicles to take out a giant T-Rex, then I guess they could put vehicles, but if not, I mean, it's even more suspenseful to be on the ground, you know, having to stick together to survive.
No, you said horde mode, and I instantly thought zombies, and I'm thinking, if they put zombies in, it would be two things at the same time. It would be awesome, but it would be like, they're going downhill, they're turning into Call of Duty.
Right, no, you can't have, I think zombies, you know, as much as I have my big opinions about Call of Duty games and all that, I think zombies does belong to Call of Duty. I mean, they're the ones that started it, and that belongs to them. You know, you have other games like Gears of War that they have their horde mode and all that. And I think right there, you could have Battlefield 3 and they'll be known for having a dino mode. You know, it'll be something new and unique to the game, and they could definitely trademark that, essentially, because it's not going to be found in any other game. But I personally want a dino mode. I mean, I think it would be great. Like, me visualizing it, I think it would be a blast to have some type of dino mode in Battlefield 3.
Yeah. What else do you think would come in Aftermath? Isn't it supposed to be like after the earthquake that was in the single player?
Right. From what I've read, which was already a while ago, you know, it was around E3 and when they first announced the DLC and the premium and all that. From what I remember reading, it's supposed to be it's supposed to be post-earthquake, so it's assumed that all the levels are going to be, you know, in ruins. You're going to have kind of like I would imagine, like, forest-type environments and, you know, a lot of, like, ruined areas because of the earthquake. You're probably going to have a lot of tunnels and trenches. But that's pretty much all that people have, like, come up with. You know, even the box art of the Aftermath DLC, you know, people look at that to get some type of hint on what's going to be in the DLC. You know, it's just a guy running around. It looks like he has a flare in his hand or something. And that's all it is. It doesn't really show you much. It looks like there's a vehicle behind him. And then you have, like, sparks and rain all over. So, I mean, there's not much you could get out of it right now.
Yeah. Oh, you keep saying stuff that gives me ideas. What if they put in a flare that you have with you, and whenever you want to get it picked up by a vehicle, you just pop a flare and hopefully somebody sees it. But the enemy can also see it and they'll know where you are.
That is a great idea. I mean, that's something small but definitely useful, especially if, you know, your teammate is obviously flying an air vehicle, you know, like a helicopter, of course, and, you know, you request a pickup. You could definitely use a flare, and it's a lot easier to spot you, because nowadays the only way to spot your teammates in Battlefield 3 is they have to call it out. Hopefully you're in a party with them or something. Or something I've noticed, I'm pretty sure they added it in one of the recent patches, and a lot of people still don't know about it, but you could request a pickup now in the game.
Yes. That's actually not very new. I'm pretty sure they had that in the... as soon as the game came out, but nobody ever pays attention to it.
Right, exactly. That's the biggest issue. I mean,
it's just like requesting a heal. Like you have to be spamming select for the command to come up.
Right, and the biggest problem with things like that, at least on, you know, the consoles, we're talking about Xbox 360, because of course the PC has the combos and all that, and, you know, who knows how that works. That's a whole different story. But at least on the Xbox, the biggest issue with requesting ammo and a pickup and health is that you need to be in the person's minimap for them to even realize something's going on. Oh, hey, there's something blinking on my minimap. Let me look at the bottom left of my screen and see what it is. But, I mean, other than that, like, you could request a pickup from someone that's on the other side of the map that's your teammate, and he's not going to notice that. I mean, there's no message that comes up on the screen. There's nothing that'll indicate that, you know, hey, this person that's standing over there that looks like an ant on your screen wants a pickup.
Yeah, but when you request a pickup, there's an icon on the minimap that has a picture of a car.
Right, but again, I mean, that's one of the biggest problems with that whole system, is that they need to do something with it, because it's not helping. I mean, you know, if the person is a random player on your team and, you know, he just flew away with the helicopter and you were waiting to get into it and you request that pickup, he's not even going to notice.
Yeah. I was just thinking on the topic of new vehicles and pickups. What if there was a two-seater jet? I think they should have those.
Yeah. I mean, that was something people were expecting, you know, as Battlefield 3 was approaching release date. You know, a lot of people expected two-seater jets. As far as I remember, back in my Battlefield 2 days, there were a lot of mods in the game, and I'm pretty sure it might have even been part of the, what was called the Desert Combat mod. I'm pretty sure there was jets with multiple seats in them. You know, multiple, I mean, a maximum of, like, two players, and one of them would drop bombs, and the other one would actually fly and man the machine gun on the front of the airplane.
Yeah, I think it would be a great idea to have a two-seater jet, because they show the F-18 having two seats in the single player, but it's one seat in the multiplayer.
Right. It definitely adds an interesting dynamic, because actually in the original Battlefield 1942 game as well, you know, they had these bomber planes and they had, you know, the smaller airplanes, and those were two-seaters as well. You know, you had someone covering the back part of the airplane, for example, or the co-pilot dropping bombs and all that, and it's a totally different dynamic for the game altogether. I mean, it makes it easier. If you're flying the airplane, you know, it's easier for you to pilot, because you don't have to worry about dive bombing a vehicle. You know, you have your teammate telling you, hey, line it up with this vehicle and I'll drop the bomb. you know, it's totally different.
Yeah, I also think they should probably have bombs instead of just rocket pods. I mean, we have bombs nowadays. It's not like we don't have bombs anymore, so why not have that as a jet weapon?
Right.
It's such a pain to line up a dive for the rocket pods.
Right, or even the guided missile is, it takes, in my opinion, it takes a little too long for guided missiles to lock on. You know, if you're trying to go for realism, I understand you're trying to keep the game balanced, but most of the time when I'm in an airplane, it takes a little too long for a guided missile to lock on.
There should be just a dead, like, a dumb bomb to right. just drop, just like in 1943.
Right, exactly. That you know, 1943 was almost an exact replica of 1942, and that's how it was. You know, you just brought it up. You know, you used to be able to just literally drop a bomb and wait for it to hit something, and if you hit, you know, you got a kill for it. The other thing that I thought about just now, thinking about the guided missiles and all that, is hopefully DICE is adding more than just maps and just throwing vehicles into every DLC and all that. Hopefully the content drops or something like that will include new types of ammunition, you know, going back to the shotguns and all that we were talking about with the Dragon's Breath. But it would be
areas.
Yeah, it would be nice to also have different types of bombs on air vehicles. Let's say, for example, you know, that's fine, you're using the guided missile on an airplane, but it would be great if you could drop a cluster bomb or something different instead of just a direct impact missile.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that, again, changes the dynamic, not only the game entirely, but each battle, you know, it's just another thing that depends on what you have equipped on your vehicle and how you're affecting the combat down below.
What about plane camos?
I think it's useless. Hopefully they're not thinking about that, I think.
Well, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're thinking of vehicle camos.
Right, yeah, unfortunately, probably. I think they could spend their resources on other things. But yeah, they probably are going to do that, but I think it's useless. You know, vehicle camos, sure, you know, that'll provide some type of, you know, camo if you're being, you know, targeted by an attack helicopter from the distance or something like that. I'm sure that'll help. But I think for air vehicles, the camo is irrelevant.
Unless you can, like, have some kind of something that blends in with the sky, just like blue or silver.
Right, exactly. Now let's go into the soldier upgrades. First, we saw on June 3rd, we saw the soldier upgrade, which essentially was available with Battlefield Premium as soon as you purchase it, which came with the new ACB-90 knife, which is exclusive to Premium. And then you also had the ability to unlock 5 new Premium dog ties, which are black with gold lettering or whatever. And then they just listed on July 8th that they're releasing the next soldier upgrade, which... a lot of people are already thinking that the description they have on the Battlefield Premium, which is a new batch of weapon camos and soldier camos, only for Battlefield 3 Premium members, is what they're going to release. For now, you know, that looks like all the soldier upgrades are just going to be new camos for all types of guns, most likely, until every gun has its own camo available. What do you think about that?
Back to the knife. People are complaining about not being able to change the knife. What's the point? It's the exact same thing. It's just Premium members get a different knife. Big deal.
Yeah. The thing is, I guess it plays into the thing of initially when I purchased Premium, I purchased it on day one. You know, I pulled out the knife. I was surprised to see that it did look like a box cutter, and that's what a lot of people call it. And the handle is a little weird. I don't know why they decided to go with the bright orange handle on it, but I mean, I guess hopefully, you know, I've never thought about it giving away my position if you're hiding in the grass or something and you have the knife out, if it's that obvious that you're there. But yeah, I think people, you got to consider, you know, that's fine. They come out with DLC and everything, and this happens with like anything, you know, that's released into the world, I guess, is not everyone's gonna like it. Everyone's always gonna have a complaint about it or whatever. And I think there is
one advantage to the ACB-90 that I know of. You can do a knife takedown faster than a regular knife.
I did not know that. That's interesting. All right, yeah. Now are you referring to like the delay that there is between taking down one player and then going to take down another? Is that what you're talking about?
No. The time it takes to actually perform the knife takedown.
Oh, okay. So it actually takes less time. That's interesting. I did not know that.
It's just slightly, but there is a time delay.
Right. But I mean, the fact that people want to switch in between that knife, you know, the premium knife and the regular one, I just think it's most of those people are the ones that don't like the way it looks.
I was just hoping you could perform a knife takedown without being behind him.
Right.
That would be nice.
Okay, so we got the weapon camos in the next soldier upgrade. That's on July 8th, once again. And let's talk about, I guess this will be the last thing we'll talk about, is the close quarters strategy guide, which released on July 3rd.
I personally think it's useless for anybody that already knows how to play the game. But like I said before we started, I didn't make it past the 20th page, so.
Right, I mean, I took a look at it. You know, I downloaded it before we started the podcast, and I took a quick look at it, and, you know, the first thing I liked is, you know, obviously, it's a strategy guide in a way, and it's free for premium members and all that, so, you know, strategy guides are always going to go into the basics first and then, you know, progress until you get to the last page of it. But me being, I consider myself a veteran Battlefield player. I did like the fact that right off the bat they're introducing Gunmaster and they list every single level of the weapons that you unlock as you progress in Gunmaster and what attachments they have and how to use them and what's unique about them. I think that was a great thing.
I personally hate Gunmaster.
Yeah, I know. But I thought that was a great thing. You know, the as soon as I noticed that, the first thing I did was jump to the level 16 weapon, which of course is the M320 low velocity grenade, which I despise, and is the reason why I've lost so many Gunmaster matches. And unfortunately, they don't tell you how to get an easy kill with it. So, moving on, the rest of the strategy guide talks about literally the basics of Battlefield 3. I mean, they're going through loadout customization, spawn screen. I mean, they're obviously considering players that are just getting into Battlefield 3 and purchasing premium as well right off the bat, and they have access to this free strategy guide. I think it's a great thing. It'll definitely help players improve because, unfortunately, it's great when the enemy is a noob at the game, but it's not so great when your teammates are new to the game and they don't even know how to spot people or that they could even spot people. And then it's too late, and you get knifed.
I didn't know until about 2 weeks after I got the game that about spotting.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm not sure when I knew about it, to be honest. I'm not even sure if I went into the game knowing that you could spot people, but I definitely picked it up quickly. Luckily for people that watch my stream and everything, I've mentioned this several times. There's a great controller from Razer, which is the tournament controller, and that gives you two extra bumpers. And I used one of my bumpers to, I have it mapped to the spot button, which is the back button on the Xbox 360 controller. And I use that to spot people. Like, you know, I literally spot people before I even shoot at them when I'm playing Battlefield 3. And I think it's a huge benefit to be able to do that.
I got to clarify this. Is that only for Xbox?
As far as I know, yes. I believe they have a tournament controller for the PS3, but it doesn't have extra bumpers. I think it has some other type of feature to it, but I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. Now, the rest of the strategy guide goes into the assignments, you know, for Close Quarters DLC, which is the first DLC that's available when you get a Battlefield 3 Premium, or if you buy it separately and it goes through all the weapons that are available in Close Quarters, all the attachments available to each weapon. You know, it's just data and data for each gun. It tells you, you know, the range, everything you would basically see in the Battlefield 3 menus, you know, as you're looking at the guns, and even more is what you'll see in this free strategy guide, which is available for all the Battlefield 3 Premium members. Now, the other thing I noticed, which I mentioned it to you, Infidel, is the what they did with the maps in the strategy guide, which I think this is a huge benefit to anyone that plays Battlefield 3 right now. You know, you first go into the Donya Fortress map. It gives you a layout of the overhead, a couple of screenshots of areas of the map, and then they go into a page called Points of Interest, which this is great because it's the more people that see this strategy guide and hopefully notice it's about half of the strategy guide actually, covering each of the maps, including in Close Quarters, they're giving you a universal layout of points of interest on each map.
It would take a while to memorize it, but after you do, it would really improve your game. If you are in a squad with all your friends, or even your entire team, if even you're talking to the entire team, and everybody knows the callouts, you will definitely come out victorious if the other team doesn't know the callouts.
Right. I mean, right now, before this strategy came out, I know for a fact callouts were based on what you see on the maps. And if you were in a platoon in the game, you had your platoon would have, you know, their dedicated little forum of, you know, callouts for their maps and, you know, their own set of callouts and all that. And it's confusing, to be honest. And I think having this in this strategy guide, at least for the close quarters maps, is a huge benefit because, like I said, it's a universal page for everyone that plays Battlefield 3 could get accustomed to it. They use a number system and a name system for the general areas of each map, and you could literally use that to call out areas on all the close quarters maps for your teammates or your squad mates or whatever it may be.
Yeah, okay. Before we wrap this up, what other future DLC do we know about other than Armored Kill and Aftermath?
Well, we have the Endgame DLC, actually, which is... That one is probably the most, you know, unknown to the Battlefield universe, I guess, because, you know, there's a handful of ideas being thrown up into the air as far as what that DLC will bring. There are a lot of people saying, again, this is based on, you know, supposedly leaked spreadsheets from DICE or whatever, is that Endgame will also bring new vehicles. And of highlighting that is the fact that they will add motorcycles to Endgame. And that's something that is obviously unique to Battlefield 3 because the most they've had in other Battlefield games is I remember, right, and I remember in 1942 you had, you know, the typical German motorcycles, if I'm not mistaken, with the carriage on the side, and you could actually have another player in there shooting at enemies as you drove around. But that's essentially an ATV. You know, it's still a four-wheel vehicle.
It's essentially as useless as the skid loader.
Right, or that as well, because you're just riding around in this vehicle that's a huge target for anything that hits it.
I don't know, I have more kills in that thing than I do in a tank, so...
Yeah, probably. But that's really the big thing that, you know, literally if you ask someone, you know, what they're excited for Endgame, they'll say it's the motorcycles, because that's honestly the only thing people have gotten out of it so far. Again, DICE is being really good at keeping things within their offices as far as the DLC and what's coming out. It's even difficult to figure out what's coming out in the soldier upgrades, and next month we have a bonus content drop as well, and no one really knows what's going to be included in those type of things yet until they literally post it on Battlelog or they make a blog post about it. As far as what's
going to... I assume they are going to be weapon assignments to hold us over in the...
Right, I hope the bonus content drop should relate directly with the title they gave it, but I hope it's literally content that they're throwing into the game. I don't want it to be more camos or things like that, because that just doesn't make sense. Obviously, they're releasing the soldier upgrade in a few days on the 8th of July, and okay, fine, you're adding camos. Just keep it to the soldier upgrades. If you're going to call something a bonus content drop, it needs to be good content that they're adding to the game.
Maybe secret DLC.
Right. I mean, honestly, I would love for them to just surprise everyone. We talked about in the beginning of the podcast the incendiary ammunition. We've talked about night vision. Like, those are things they should hopefully be considering to include in these content drops. Now, at the same time, I just realize the content drops can't be things like that at the same time, because remember, the content drops are unique to Battlefield 3 members, and they don't want Battlefield 3 Premium to just give a disadvantage, you know, to anyone else that's not a member of the Premium program. So, I mean, we got to figure out and wait to see what they release for those content drops as well.
We mentioned the ATV. In Armored Kill, they are bringing the ATV.
Right. They are adding that in Armored Kill. I think you see one of them driving around, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Armored Kill trailers. Because they did show off a lot of, you know, it's essentially a trailer of all the new vehicles, or most of them at least, and I think you do see and ATV riding around in the midst of like all the mayhem in the Armored Kill trailer. But as far as the ATVs coming into the game, I think they're just going to be, you know, they're going to work the same as Bad Company 2. You're going to have a passenger on the backside and he could shoot. I've actually seen people say that supposedly you'll be able to turn around completely this time instead of just facing the back part. That doesn't make much sense to me because, you know, you got to remember you are sitting on the back part of the ATV. So being able to turn around like 180 is a little scary, I guess.
What are you, the owl?
Yeah, or something like that. Or I was thinking the Exorcist or something. But having ATVs and things like that in Battlefield games are always fun. It's fun to have, you know, the slow-moving powerhouse vehicles like the tanks and all that. But it's always fun to ride around and literally see what you could jump over and run into when you're driving an ATV.
Oh, or, man, I expect to get run over by an ATV many times.
Right, I mean, it. One of the things I loved about Battlefield 2, which I honestly expected them to transfer over to Battlefield 3 in some way, is they had civilian vehicles. And, you know, I've mentioned this so many times, you know, when I play with you, Infidel, and other people on Battlefield 3, is I remember the days when nowadays people do car bombs, that's fine. They put it on a buggy, but unfortunately you have, like, teammates in there, and they might stay in the car, and you might just kill them. But literally in Battlefield 2, you had civilian vehicles, and you were able to use those as literal car bombs in the game. You know, that's fine. You had your teammates pile into it and everything, and it looked great to see, you know, a full like Honda Civic, you know, packed with your teammates, and you're driving it and you're ready to car bomb someone, but they know you're gonna do that because, you know, what else are you gonna do with a Honda Civic in the middle of a war? And you would literally use those cars to car bomb, and they were quick and nimble, and having things like that.
Like a drive-by scene with some guys holding like an Uzi out the window.
Oh no, you would see things like that definitely. And you know, I was always hoping that was something. You know, if they would get anything out of Battlefield 2 coming into Battlefield 3, fine. They put the guns now from Battlefield 2 in the Back to Karkan DLC, but I wish they would make it so you could just have, you know, vehicles sitting there, and you could either blow them up, you know, right there on the spot if there's an enemy hiding behind it, or you see someone driving around in a Honda Civic and you could blow it up. And I think that would be great.
On the top of the car, have you ever seen what's it called? Green Zone with Matt Damon in it?
No, I'm not. I don't think I have.
Well, it comes to mind when you say, like, you see all your teammates packed into a car. There's a scene in Green Zone where U.S. soldiers commandeer a Honda Civic and drive around in it. And it looks hilarious to see, like, fully dressed, like, soldiers with, like, body armor and helmets on with their M4s sticking out the window on this innocent little car.
Right, I mean, I think it's a great thing, you know. That's something I've always loved in Battlefield games, is the fact that it's so open, and you could have an entire level like that, which is essentially its own world, and, you know, you're playing on there for, like, 30 minutes to an hour, you know, who knows, depending on the ticket count now, is, you know, you could have things like that. You could just have a car sitting there, and you could get into it, drive it away, or just blow it up. And, you know, unfortunately, in Battlefield 3 right now, they do have cars sitting around and all that, but you cannot get into them, so they're really just, like, sitting there for you to wait for someone to hide behind, or you hide behind it, and hopefully you don't get blown up, but you could blow up the enemy if he's hiding behind it, and things like that, but you can't drive them.
I want to see a map that, if you have the max tickets, it will actually go from day to night to day again, if the game is long enough.
Yeah, that's definitely another thing they could add. I'm not sure if they could do that with the Frostbite 2 engine right now. That's probably the limitation.
On Grand Highway, it actually does go from night to daytime.
Oh, I've never noticed that, actually.
It does. The sun starts coming up.
Oh, well, maybe they should implement that in the future DLC. Hopefully they think about that and they don't just leave it there forgotten. Because I've never realized that on Tehran Highway, but that's definitely something that, you know, you're right. If you have max tickets on a map right now, you know, you have the custom servers and all that, and, you know, some matches last an hour to an hour and a half, whatever it may be. It would be great to make it feel even more like you've been there, you know, for days, I guess. you know, fighting this battle, and you know, it changes dynamically. You have nighttime, you have daytime. That would be great. Another thing, you know, thinking about that is weather. But that's something I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think definitely. You know, you have maps like Grand
what
Bazaar.
It's the same map, but it would randomly change weather.
Right, exactly. I mean, you have maps with constant weather right now, like Grand Bazaar, that, you know, it's always, like, raining, and a lot of people don't notice it because it's kind of like a light drizzle, but...
But what if you just... What if it's the... If you're on a server that has the same map over and over again, and sometimes it would be sunny out, sometimes it would be cloudy, sometimes it would be raining...
Right, exactly.
Maybe even sometimes it would be snowing, but you never know.
I mean, consider a map... Let's throw one out there right now, like Wake Island... That map, you could literally have every type of weather that is known to mankind, I guess, and throw it into that map, you know, each round you play on it. Let's say it's a 24/7 server. And that, on a map like that, that will totally change each round, like, the turnout, because you... Fog on a map like Wake Island, you won't even be able to see the other side of the island. Like, you're blind. And if you get vehicle and something like that, like, you know, you're not going to do any damage, really.
There should be a good reason for the thermal attachments on tanks and IFVs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thermal scopes have, after they changed the way that they work, which is more realistic now, in my opinion. You know, a lot of people are using them because you could spot people, like, a mile away with them. But honestly, now that I think about it, I think the thermal on tanks... You know, obviously it works differently than the thermoscopes on weapons, but I'm pretty sure the thermoscopes on the tank actually don't see through smoke. I've never actually noticed it, but I'm pretty sure they don't.
I don't know. We could test that sometime.
Yeah, which is something that, you know, thinking about it now, that's something that hopefully they've tested out and they've noticed. And if anything, it's consistent whether they should be able to see the smoke or not, but hopefully that's something they haven't overlooked.
You should be able to see through certain things with thermal. Like, that's a reason why the army uses thermal.
Right, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things they still need to change in the game. Unfortunately, they still have issues coming up. Like, they have the glitch now that was essentially discovered on the first day of the last patch, which is, you know, at the same time they fixed the M26 dart glitch, but now people are using the M320 smoke grenade as a sniper rifle.
Yeah, don't mention how that works.
Right, and I mean, it's just, to me personally, I've discussed it on my live stream and all that, and we're not going to get into that because that's just going to be like another half hour of discussion, but I don't understand how developers could patch something into a game and then it affects something that's completely unrelated at the same time. Like, I don't understand how that happens. You know, I understand if you're working on a line of code, like, you know, I know a handful of codes, let's just say that, and I don't understand how you could fix something such as the M26 dart, and it affects the way the M320 grenade launcher works. Like, it's a totally different name. Like, I don't understand what kind of typo you could run into or whatever to cause that. But, you know, if things like that keep happening every time they release a patch, you know, we're not going to see a lot of time for DICE to think about, you know, small things to add, like what we've discussed, into the game, because they're going to be working on these, you know, patches continuously to fix issues and problems and people complaining about things. That's just not going to give them time to really add anything to the game.
Yeah, there's a good number of glitches in Battlefield, like the one in Metro where you can get in the ceiling.
Yeah, that's something. All those things now, like, now there's that other issue of people being able to get outside of numerous maps, because I don't think it's just Metro. I've heard about it being possible on other maps. You know, I honestly don't know exactly which maps right now, but...
Scrap metal, you can get outside the map, but you can't get anybody from them.
Right, I mean, hopefully those are, like, again, I don't understand if, back to what I was just discussing, like, I don't understand if that's a line of code that they've made an error in the last patch, or if that's just been there and, you know, people are being more of a pain just going onto maps and trying to discover things to ruin the game. And, you know, it doesn't give DICE time to actually add things to the game, and then... Later on, you have people complaining, hey, why are you adding this, whatever, why don't you add this? Well, you know, stop, you know, report people that are going out of the maps and stuff, I guess, you know? Like, it's not going to give them time to do anything else if they're just dealing with that crap all the time.
I went into an empty server to check out the Metro glitch, and luckily there's only one place that you can shoot out of, and it's like an inch tall little sliver right above a beam that you can shoot out of, and you can't get anybody from it. So luckily you can't really get killed too easily from up there, but it's still annoying.
Right. I mean, it's a shame that all that stuff happens, but that, you know, as long as that keeps happening and DICE has to focus their attention on patches and stuff, we're not going to see a lot of good stuff coming to Battlefield 3 besides maybe the DLC, because it's just not going to give them time to just sit down and even play the game and be like, hey, man, we should add this, you know, like them talking amongst each other. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I guess we talked about everything for now.
Yep.
You know, July 8th, we have the soldier upgrade coming out, which is going to be weapon camos, soldier camos, and then obviously people could check out the close quarter strategy guide right now, which became available on July 3rd if you're a Battlefield 3 premium member. The double XP event is going on right now, which ends on July 8th as well. And I guess we'll catch you guys
like
on the battlefield.
Right now is July 5th, so.
Yeah, it's July 5th today, which is the same day we've uploaded the podcast, pretty much.
Maybe. This podcast will probably be weekly, so subscribe, come back. If not, it's our fault. Keep subscribing.
This is obviously our initial podcast, as you guys have noticed on the titles, and, you know, everywhere we'll probably upload the podcast too. So give us some feedback. Let us know what you liked about it, what you want us to talk about, what we should change, you know, whatever. If the podcast is too long, too short, whatever you guys want.
Check out Alex's live stream at twitch.tv/alex693.
Yeah, and then, just if you want to catch us on the battlefield, you know, we're always playing with new people. Don't be shy. I mean, that's the big thing I like to do on my live stream, and, you know, that's how I met Infidel. I play with anyone, so just contact me, and we could play on Battlefield 3.
And I'm going back to Battlefield.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
I just did that.
Yeah, the shameless plug of the podcast. All right, well, we'll catch you guys next time. So thanks for listening, and tune in next week for the next episode. All right, see you.